And Eric takes this opportunity to write one of his greatest passacaglias and fugues. Did he talk about this, again using the Baroque procedure in the dramatic context?
No, but he played it a lot, and I think he was very satisfied with that piece. I think the passacaglia, wasn't the passacaglia piece the one where he gets stoned?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And
yeah, it was one of the most dramatic pieces that he had written, and you can really, I mean, the anguish and the horrible cruelty of the stoning.
Right.
It was really so expressed in this music and this ever mounting tension of the passacaglia.
No, the poor man is stoned in the passacaglia, and then in the big fugal finale, the palace crashes down upon the king. In this piece, Eric very definitely uses leitmotifs, as he labels them all.
Yeah.
And he seems to be heading towards this continuous music kind of texture based on a web of motives.
Yeah.
Quite a piece, and I just ask this out of curiosity, and I don't know that any answer is possible, but we've seen Eric in earlier dramatic ballets and in an earlier opera like Leon Sinlena take the best pieces, the most extensive pieces, and make suites of them, perhaps as more in frustration than anything else when it seemed that he wouldn't get a performance of the full work. Did he ever talk about his approach to this piece where you have a totality that can function independent of the drama? One could play this, one doesn't need to make a suite of it.
Yeah, I think he felt that, that this one was raw in such a way that it was like an absolute piece.
Mm-hmm.
It could be played independently and didn't have to be made in a suite.
Right.
Because it wasn't just different pieces. It had a continuity and formal connection.
Right, a musical independence above and beyond the storyline. Well, this particular work, The Vineyard, shows Eric at his dramatic best. And absolutely, it's an inspirational piece. In 1954, we see him at his lyrical and pastoral best. This is really a pastoral ballet on the story of Jacob and Rachel. Once again, we see Zemach involved. How did you get into this particular venture?
Well, Zemach said that it was very, very difficult to do a big piece like this, and that he could not raise the fund for a big orchestra, but if Eric would be willing to do something for a small group, you know, not more than, I don't know how many instruments are involved.
Yeah, smaller,
than 10, I think. Then it would be a much greater chance for performance, and he would probably put it through.
Uh-huh.
And they decided to do the story of Jacob and Rachel.
I see.
And he again did the book for Eric, and Eric followed this pretty closely as he had done it.
Uh-huh.
And he follows the Bible pretty closely.
Yes, this much more closely.
And this is much more lighthearted, and there are funny scenes, you know, in it. Bedding dance with a relatives meeting, you know. And again, there are dramatic pieces, of course, in the anguish of Leah, who is, of course, rejected by Jacob.
Yeah.
And just jealous and so on.
Well, did Eric have anything to do with suggesting to Zemach, perhaps, that the libretto might be more detailed? Because here we have the most detailed libretto I've ever seen for a ballet, with the exception of Zeisel's own Pierrot in Der Flasche from 1929. It covers several pages of text, whereas The Vineyard was quite short.
Yeah, I think that with this piece, Zemach really had in mind a definite performance.
I see.
He was much more to the point. And as a matter of fact, he did the first scene. There was a fundraising dinner at which this was played, of course, only with piano. And we had then meetings with the president of the University of Judaism, and they did spend the money to have the things copied, the score copied and the parts. But to performance, it never came, and I think it would have come because Eric would have pestered them and so on. And I did. And